Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme, as we say good evening to Sluggy Dan. Good evening, Sluggy Dan.
Manners, 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 and respect. How are you, my brother?
I'm good, Sluggy. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm great. I'm great. I'm blessed. Today we have a great show planned. Today we got a packed panel, but you know we're going to start off with royalty, of course, you know, and saluting someone, a Barbadian Ollie who created history. Still a young man, still very much alive. Noah family man. So Ollie, we're gonna have a chat with him first, and then we're gonna have a chat with two outstanding ladies in different fields, but still doing outstanding work. And we have a very nice show packed and planned for you today. VOB 92.9 FM. VOB 92.9 FM, the nation's number one station. We have Michelle Marshall, of course. We have Mackenzie, and who are on the line with us, Ollie. Michelle and Mackenzie, we're going to give way first to our special guest. You know, he's overseas and we want to salute him for taking time out this evening to have a chat with us. And I'm sure Ollie and I will have some much, much needed questions that we would love some answers for from him. Ollie, thanks again for always supporting my venture and supporting what you do to educate the youth. My brother, appreciate you. You can introduce our first guest. Let me get the show on the road.
Okay, good evening. Ramon Bernard Harewood, born 3rd of February 1987, is a former Barbadian American football offensive tackle. He played college football at Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia, and was drafted in the 6th round of the 2010 NFL Draft. The Ravens signing him to a 3-year contract. NFL Super Bowl champion 2013 Baltimore Ravens, creating history for Barbados. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ramon Bernard Harewood. Good evening to you, sir.
Hey, what's up, man? Good evening, Barbados. What's up?
We're doing good. Sluggy.
Yes, good evening. Listen to you read that out. Ollie, listen to me read that out. And say he's a NFL Super Bowl champion. Of course, we see the magnitude of the Super Bowl, having our Barbadian Rihanna perform at the Super Bowl. Ollie can ask. I don't know if you got your questions first, but I have some questions for sure.
Well,
you can go first.
Sure, no problem. Slugs, I want to start off by asking Mr. Harewood about your...
I got a million.
Mr. Ramon Bernard Harewood. About your journey, sir, from Barbados to the NFL. Please share it with us. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, man. So, you know, obviously born and raised Christchurch, Parish Line, to be exact. My mom passed, you know, when I was 10, and I ended up moving down to Paddock Road area by the Garrison. And her best friend essentially raised me. My name is Dr. Coward. I would not be here first and foremost without her. And then the rest is just, you know, your typical schoolboy stories. Grow up running around playing sports, and you know, obviously going to Queens College. I tried my hand at pretty much everything except basketball. You know, cricket, football, volleyball, eventually, rugby, track and field. And I managed to excel at quite a few of them. You know, I was on the junior rugby team since I was maybe 11 or 12, national team. I was, I think I won a bronze medal at Karifta. Trying to remember the year. I think it was 2003. In Trinidad, and then, you know, I made it to the national volleyball team, youth team, you know, my final year at Queens. So, you know, I kind of always tried my hand at different sports, and I was quite content, you know. So I go to UE my first year, and that jump was hard. So the opportunity presented itself. Like, hey, my last year at Queens, I met a guy, Mike Grant. His wife, Sharnell Grant, is from Barbados. He's American, but he was coaching at Morehouse. And he saw me. He basically was like, bro, you need to be out of here. You need to be overseas, you know, trying to figure out football.
What made him say that?
So when he saw me, I was at, like I said, I used to do track. He saw me at inter-school sports, right? And I was warming up on the hurdles. For some odd reason, you know, big 300-pound-plus dude, I chose to just jump over a few hurdles. And he was like, bro, that's amazing. You need to take the SAT, and you need to get your butt in America. And I was really thinking the whole time I was going, you know, through the track thing. So long story short, with no prep, I did the SAT one Saturday at Samuel Jackman Polytechnic. I don't know if that's what it's still called, but
yes, it is. It is still called that.
Right. So did that, score well enough. I went to Morehouse in spring, so January of 2006. And started school. The first person I met would have been the football coach, just because he heard it was a big dude on campus. He wanted to see. I never played football before, mind you. And he was like, hey, training starts in 3 weeks. Be there. I'm on the track team. I'm supposed to be doing shot put, discus. And to be honest, I was glad for the opportunity because I was kind of bored with track. It's just monotonous, you know. If you've
so
ever you got,
so that means you that means at this point, because you said UE, the jump to UE was different, that means you had already started UE after Queens College before you just transitioned to America.
I started spring 05, so September 05 was when I started UE. My plan was to do that year, first year there, and then go to Trinidad and pursue civil engineering.
This was your plan initially, like this was in your thinking. Well, I can got UB for a year. There's a Barbadian boy. There's a Barbadian boy. All the money you living in Barbados, all the opportunity happened in Barbados. All he said, he did the SATs at the Polytechnic. Big up the Polytechnic. That was keep pushing Polytechnic skills training, BCC, Paul Marine, all these places. All that you was always here. We talk about the youth going. That way he's always champion these places, right? But he said, Queens College on the track team. He was also a captain of the track team in the school sports. He won 9, participated at Carif to represent Barbados. So you engrossed in the Barbadian culture heavy now. Did your SATs, you start, you be thinking, again, transfer to Trinidad. That's in your mind. Then bam, the SAT scores come back. You got through and you in America now at Morehouse. This is a Bajan young man. Just so that like, you just jump out the plane. Like you do with no parachute, anything, bro.
Right, yeah, man. So credit. there were four guys already at Morehouse on track scholarships, all from college.
Nice.
And so I guess the coaches over there were familiar with the talent from the island. So it was just an easy thing. When he saw me.
Big up, Bobby.
Like, you know what? We got these athletes here. They're obviously excelling academically. I think one more wouldn't hurt, basically. So essentially, that's what happened. And long story short, I decided not to do track. And the football coach saw my grades. And instead of giving me a football scholarship, I was able to get a full academic scholarship, tuition, room, and board. So you know, went to school.
No, that's important, Ramon. And I know you're saying this all callously and humbly and all you're not listening, but my phone here going crazy. I assure you, this ain't nothing to skim over. So you got explain to me, a novice, and he's asked a lot of questions, so bear me. Why it was important to take you off of that particular scholarship and put you on a full academic scholarship?
So at Morehouse, it's a small Division II school, all black school, you know, alumni.
Yeah.
Martin Luther King, Samuel Jackson. It's really academically, right?
And
it is not heavy in the sporting arena. So you got these schools like Alabama, Georgia, which I'm sure everybody knows. Yes. And they have 80, 90, 100 scholarships to offer, right? So basically everybody on your team is going to be going to school for free. Well, at Morehouse, I think Division II schools get something like 20 scholarships. We have over 80 athletes on a team. So you can kind of start to do the math there. If you give one person a full scholarship, then that's basically mean that, you know, four or five people are going to miss out on partial scholarships.
Oh.
So basically the coach was like, hey, if you can keep this 3.7 GPA and manage to you know, maintain that, then it will give me a lot of wiggle room in terms of recruiting other players that I can give and offer money to, whether that's tuition scholarships or room and board scholarships. Essentially, that's what happened. So because of that, at my time there, we were able to get, you know, a bunch of good quality athletes and actually, you know, had during my time there, we had a good football team. And so
that's important. Right. So Ali, what he's essentially telling us then is, because of your good grades and you keeping studious and disciplined, they were able to put you on academic scholarship, save your football team some money or some value in scholarships, right? And then you got other good players that you wouldn't have been able to get these players if you weren't able to keep your good grades and go on the academic scholarship. Are you correct so far?
Essentially, yeah.
Right, and because of these good players that were able to come in, this is what made your overall team better?
Yes, most definitely.
That's huge.
Yeah. So to continue the story, starting football thing was new to me. I was clearly the best athlete on the team, but I had never played football before. So
all these rules, defensive team, offensive teams, special teams, routes, and all these, like, you learn all these things when?
Obviously learning wasn't an issue for me. It was more so in the physicality. The good thing about it is that I also played rugby, right? So the physical nature of the game came easy to me. As I got to learn the players, you know, I started off on defensive line. I didn't really play there at all. When the new coach came in, he switched me to offensive. So I was left tackle, basically left tackle protecting the quarterback. And on the offensive side of the ball, it is more so, I don't want to call it where the smart players play, but for the most part, it's a lot more, what's the word I want to use? You got to know what you're doing in terms of the plays. Defense is more reactive. They react to what we do. Offensive, if one person is messing up, the whole play is ruined. So you got to know what's going on.
I get you.
So full credit to, you know, my offensive line coach, Coach Braswell. I think he's with, I think he's the O-line coach at University of Maryland right now. He definitely put his hand on my life in ways that I could never, never repay him. But, you know, it was basically, hey, you have the talent, you got the brains, the size, the smarts, you can do this, and I'm going to attach my wagon to you, and we both going to get up out of here. And that's what he did. He would spend his summers at coaching clinics, getting all the insight that he needed that he could come back and give to me. And basically from that first year in 2007 when I started playing, the next year, 08, I was all-conference, and then the following 2 years, I was All-American.
And so all-conference would be like, Black Rock, and then All-American would be like Barbados? All-conference would be like St. Michael?
So all-conference would be like, all-conference would be like making, like, say you got the cricket league and secondary schools. All-conference would be like,
the best players, right, for each team.
It's basically like all-star teams, but on different caliber.
Right, I get you. The best of the best, right? I get you. Right.
So essentially, it's like all conference. You know, there's a bunch of different leagues. It's different schools playing. So all conference would mean that you are one of the best players in your league.
Right, I get you.
All-American is the same thing, but throughout the entire United States.
Yeah, the reason, right, and bear me, the reason Ramon, why you asked me to explain the difference and how sort of could show how difficult it is to make it, but I heard you mention briefly that in your second year and then stating at the beginning of this conversation saying you had never played football before.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you was essentially, you left Barbados as a young man, not a full man yet. Going to America, you competing in your second year, I never playing the sport, and people that was there playing the sport all them life, you obviously had to beat out.
And I mean, some of it is pride, right? You know, my mom, she passed when I was 10.
Yeah.
And one of the main things that she always instilled in me, I don't know if it's because she didn't have it herself, but it was self-esteem, right? It was like, you're always going to be the biggest dude in the class. You can't smell musty, and it can't be dumb. That's what she would always tell me. So do
you? No, that's real. That's a black queen for you, boy. That's what my mother, right. You know what I mean? You can't be idiot in the class. You can't be the fool in here. You want to be class clown? Yeah, they could hear it.
And so that kind of stayed with me. And then throughout my matriculation at Queens, it was just different people at different times that taught me different things to where everything is possible. Like, it would start with Coach Gaskin, who was the PE coach at Queens.
That's a Barbadian legend. If you don't know, salute to Coach Gaskin from Queens College. And I really appreciate that. You mentioned his name and you remember him after you having so much youth success going to the NFL, you know, the top of the top. You still remember a coach, Gaskin, that helped train you at Queens College. Salute you for that, bro.
Then we go from Coach Gaskin, we go to Andrew Bradford, who started off as my technical joint teacher. Queens had a female volleyball team, but we never had a male volleyball team. So my six form years, I started playing volleyball because I was around him so much. And he was the guy, it wasn't really what he did or said, it was the fact that you could tell he cared. He spent countless hours with us after school, technical joint classes, lessons, in the metal workshop. And it was just being around, it was just the positive male influence, right? And so I started playing volleyball. And every night, twice a night, I would play for his club, Carlton, salute. You know, twice a week we would have volleyball practice. So a lot of the lessons I learned in terms of just overcoming obstacles came from there. And then to fast forward also to my rugby coaches, Brian Duguid, Ricky Morris. Those are people who took me out of Paddock Road when I was getting in trouble at home, would show up at my house and say, hey, I got him. Like, I know he's misbehaving. Let him come to rugby. We're going to work all this out. And so that's where it's a combination of all those type of people that led me to believe in myself and essentially have the mindset like, hey, I'm not doing anything that anybody else isn't doing. I'm a man just like anybody else. And if they can do it, I can do it too. Essentially was always my mindset. And so with that in mind, you know, when I started playing football, it was either get embarrassed or hit the weight room, learn the sport, and not be embarrassed. And for me, that's the easy option.
Well, no, that's absolutely brilliant. Ollie, listening to him, right, Ollie? What is one takeaway so far?
Well, the latest. Mr. Herod has said a lot, Sluggy, and I got a question to ask him. But Even up.
Oh, no problem. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, even up to the latest thing that he said in terms of the positive male father figure influence in his life, and he's mentioned quite a few, Sluggy.
Yeah. Know that you mentioned it, catch it. You mentioned the technical drawing teacher at his school, and played volleyball because of him. It wasn't so much what he said. I remember you saying that. And him talk about the coach at Queen's College also.
Rugby coaches, everybody. This young man came from Paddock Road, Sluggy. Giving trouble in Paddock Road.
Yeah, and he had an outlet. He had sports, rugby as an outlet. You know, so I had to release that frustration, break a sweat, and get healthy at the same time. And that comes from positive. Yeah.
He had some gentlemen positive helping him out. So, you know, time runs quickly, Sluggy. So I'm just going to ask this question before it goes too far. Mr. Harewood, when are you next planning to come back to Barbados to talk to the youth?
Man, nice. So I had a camp there I think it was after I won the Super Bowl 2014, I came back. Right now, my focus is my youth, my two kids, making sure they get to where they get to. So half the battles that I had to face, they don't have to face. I have a 4 and a 1 year old. And so when they get a little older and they understand, I'll you know, get them over here. But for right now, it's just making sure I get, you know, build the, what's the word? I don't want to call it wealth, but, you know, make sure they
strike. Yes.
My wife and I run a logistics company. We own a bunch of delivery vans. So
nice. Just
running that business day in, day out to get to where I need to get. And then I can focus on everybody else. Because, you know, I can't give of a well, if this makes sense, is not full. I want to make sure my well is filled up first so that I can pour the way I need to pour into different kids.
I'm asking you that, Mr. Harewood, because I got a message on the WhatsApp, somebody who joined in the program late, asking us to remind them of your name. His name is Ramon Bernard Harewood. And then the message continued, I'm listening intently. Very good program. I'm glued. I wish more young people would listen to this program. So you're having a big effect, sir.
Yeah, man. Yes. That's the plan. It's always to lift as you climb. I've said that before, for sure.
I love that.
That to me is what I live my life basically by two rules. One is, you know, to treat others how you want to be treated. And two is essentially, you know, the saying, never forget where you come from, which is going to lead to lifting as you climb. But if you can step one level up and reach back and help somebody else, and then that person does the same, we all come up. And to me, that's the real definition of a lifting tide raises all boats, right? And that's essentially what my life is. Because I 100% would not be here if my mom didn't have the wherewithal to say, hey, I got plenty of family in Barbados. No shade to them whatsoever. But she chose her best friend to raise me. Her best friend graduated Ohio State, had a professorship. She could have stayed in Ohio, worked a good job, built herself, and she chose to come back to Barbados to raise me, who is not her flesh and blood. And then you go on to my coaches, you know, my teachers. There have been so many people who, at different points in my life, when I didn't know that I needed it, stepped in and did what I try to do now, is essentially just put their hand in my life and say, hey, you better than this, you can do it. And that's what it's all about.
Well, Mr. Harewood, speaking of which, I have a gentleman on the phone. He wants to ask you a question. Good evening, sir.
Yeah, good evening. Ramon.
Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to Beijing Rhythm and Rain, buddy. Go ahead.
Yeah, Ramon, do you remember being a Cub Scout at St. Paul's School?
Do I remember being a what?
A Cub Scout at St. Paul's School.
Man, yeah, I was a sixer in yellow.
No, blue. Yeah, you were the sixth of yellow six.
Yellow six. Yeah, I think, yeah, I remember being a Cub Scout, man.
Do you remember the leaders?
Cheltenham.
Yes, you're talking to him.
You're lying. This is not Cheltenham from the police band.
Yes, sir.
This is not my buddy Cheltenham from the police band.
Yes, it is.
He's a top class musician. He was in the police band before me, so he's one of the areas that come before me, Ollie. And then he was big in the Cub Scouts, so like many police band players, like Founders Day and different events with the Cub Scouts and for the boys, he was always one of the people that was organizing or in charge of the Cub Scouts. Yeah. And besides being a musician, just giving you all your quick background of who Mr. Cheltenham is. But now you're saying you was one of the leaders. Then Ramon was there as well, bro.
Yeah, he was young. Just before his mother died, he was under my wings.
Man, listen, and to go back there, I didn't even mention that. But before, when my mom died, who I call Antonia, before she came back to Barbados, I was switching from house to house. I stayed at Mr. Cheltenham's, him and his wife's house, for a couple of nights, I'm sure. I remember that. Oh, yeah. I definitely remember.
Well, look at life. So, Cheltenham, I asked you, and rushing off before Ollie, being rushing off, Ollie, got to give you extra time today. Got to give you extra time today. Listen, Cheltenham, me ask you, man, so he made it to the NFL, the highest league, we all know. We didn't care about what he make, the contrast. All we care about is the level of work that you know it takes to get to that level and in that space of time. People that played for years, he made it before in just 2 years, which is incredibly crazy to think about. It's impossible. That's impossible from young, bro. I asked you this, no professional, not a sluggy. From young, as a leader and a tutor, a teacher, what did you see in him that you think could help benefit other young men if they had those particular qualities? I didn't mean to get deep this evening, but knowing what you know and what I learned from you, I have to ask you questions like this.
All right. First thing, he was dedicated.
Yes,
he
please.
He made sure that his six was the best six on parade every Wednesday. He even took over blue six, red six, when the Sixers didn't turn up and didn't have them in order. So we made him the senior sixer. So he would have. Before we came on the parade, he would have everybody lined up, role taken, subs taken.
You mean like the 2YC or the parade commander?
He would have been the parade commander.
Woo! That's different to the 2YC. No, heck, the 2YC no be like Sluggy coming, making sure the parade good, and then hand over to him.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying. Nice boy.
He was good, very, very good. And he always had discipline, right? He made sure that things were in place before the leaders got there.
Yes.
Right? And I guess the thing that made him more thing is that his size. For a youngster, right? He was huge. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised that he has gone to the NFL and doing well.
I use what God gave him. Use what God gave him. What is because you could use it for anything else. As you know, exactly. He's big, he's strong. He could use it for anything else. We've seen many, and you know, we won't even mention those things, but we've seen many big and strong, and what they know they could do and the life they lead.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I love that you mentioned that.
He took his opportunities both hands and made the best of it.
Yes, I just wanted to love that, man.
I just heard he got two kids, so just let him pass on what he learned from those years to right now to where he is. Just pass it on to
others,
and there will be just as good as he or better.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Yes, yes. Yeah, no, it is. The world is small, man. I thank you, Chad. I have so much for that call, Ollie. Ollie, thank you so much for passing through that call, buddy. Owe you a beer or two.
Don't drink alcohol, my brother.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, because you know me. You don't be able to know beer to buy. I never drink a beer in my life. Yeah. Listen, but for sure that is time to celebrate, man. I know those good moments. Ramon, we can see people from your childhood come back and speak of you and that being this age still. And you mentioned your children. Having being a father and being able to pass on these type of stories to your children must be something that is bigger to you than a Super Bowl or bigger than any money you can make. That gotta be so pleasing as a father that your children can hear you talk about these stories, bro.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's bigger than that. Like, I mean, my kids have been around, you know, we just had our 10-year reunion. So they've been around all the greats, the Ray Lewis's, the Ed Reed's, the Terrell Suggs. They've met and they know all these people. But for me, it's I don't care what they do. I just want them to follow their passion. I think that's something that I wasn't or didn't have the ability to do, obviously. But I think it's my job, obviously, to instill, you know, the morals, the work ethic that I had growing up into them and then just watch them flourish. I think that to me, that's what fatherhood is. It's just being a shepherd, protecting your sheep, making sure they're grazing in the right grass, they drink the right water. And from there, they grow up to be prized winning sheep. Then that's all you could ask for.
No, I love that. And listen, Ollie, all I can say to Ramon before we say goodbye, Ollie, is that certainly the dedication and hard work it took for him to get to this level, I am certain that you can translate that blueprint to any sport, any discipline in Barbados. Now, we will have so many successful sportsmen. If this is me and this is from Sluggy, if Ramon don't have to be in Barbados, I'm sure a mere consultation with you and an eighth of your knowledge will benefit our country and our youth so much, because the level you went to, if we being honest, is a million levels above any level you would have experienced in Barbados. So the blueprint it took physically and mentally in any sport, I believe will be extremely helpful to our nation.
Well, Sluggy, yeah, I think.
Sorry, Ramon, I'm just going to read you quickly something up from the WhatsApp chat. I'm going to read it straight.
No
from,
problem. Let me go
from the WhatsApp chat. It says, "I would like to hook up my son with him for real." Yes, Ramon, you are blessed.
Yes, love man. It. I appreciate it, love man. It. Before love you it. Go, I would just say, man, if it's one thing that I can impart right here over the radio waves, would be to control what you can control, man. People come from different backgrounds. We have different, you know, obstacles we got to fight. But the only thing you control is yourself. You can't control the hand that you would dealt. You just control how you play it. And as long as you do that, along with doing that, just making sure that when you do that, you do it to the best of your ability. Wherever you end up is where you should be, man. I think that's my bottom
line. I love that. Just go all out. Whatever hand you were dealt, go all out with it. That's what a lot of our youth ain't doing. You know, you are saying that excuses in the company. Whatever hand you were dealt, go all out. Whatever gift you have, whatever ability you had, go all out. And where you end up is where you're supposed to be, as long as you go all out. I love that, Ramon. I respect that. I appreciate that, and I thank you so much for passing through this evening. I know you are 2 hours behind us. You're going off now with the kids, but on behalf of Starcom and I, you know, VB92.9, the listeners, love it, callers, big up to Chad Han for calling in, for the WhatsApp messages, Ollie. I don't know if you want to tell them anything before we go, but from me and all of my crew at Ben Gotan especially, you don't have to say goodbye, because you will be in touch for sure. You have a lot of knowledge that is extremely helpful, and I appreciate that you don't mind sharing some of your knowledge with me, Ramon. Big respect to you.
No doubt, man. Shout out to QC Massive. Fight
Yes. Bye.
You know how we do.
Bang, bang, big up QC. Yes, Ollie, over to you, yeah, buddy.
Mr. Hayward, we appreciate the chat so much, and we definitely look forward to talking to you again sometime.
For sure. For sure.
Yes, sir. We stay in touch, man. We got some big things that's going to happen out of
well,
this.
Well, you know that. You know that. You know that, Ramon. You know that. They will get all the details in the coming months or years. We ain't going nowhere, my brother. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Barbados, Ramon is in full support. And he's in full contact. I reach him anytime quite easily. He don't have to be here. A conversation with him is worth more than money, Ollie. No amount of money can't suffice. You hear what I'm telling you? Ramon, we appreciate you. Have a great evening. And say hello to the children from me and Ollie.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, man. You're blessed, man. You'll take care.
Yeah, man. Right. Yes, please, peoples. That was a Barbadian legend, creating history, the first Barbadian to win a Super Bowl. That is the National Football League in America, Super Bowl, the highest, one of the most difficult games in the world to play, I understand, and navigate. So big ups to Mr. Ramon Yearwood. As he goes, we want to thank him for passing through. Ollie, you can. Ollie, we have a young lady here that we want to talk to quick about her business, a brave young lady. She's about 19 years old. I want you to pull up her short bio there quickly. She's about 19 years old, I believe, Mackenzie. And for me, let me meet young person like this online. I have to bring them to the wider audience of Barbados so that the old people that we listening, the middle age and the young people listening, on the OBI listeners, can understand what young Barbados really doing. And you know there's a lot of violence, you know there's a lot of crime, a lot of slackness, but you want to show Barbados that we have living young people that doing extremely positive work. So Ollie, if you can, you can introduce her quickly.
Certainly, Sluggy. Mackenzie Bavell is the name of this young lady. And the name of her business is Blackout Art Studios, or BOAST, BOAST for short. It is an artistic business with ties beginning in agriculture. Mackenzie Bavell is 19 years old, and her business is almost 2 years old. She has been in the beginning stages for quite some time, but she's now starting to see the results. Good evening to Mackenzie Bavell. How are you doing, young lady?
Good evening. I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for asking.
Now, Mackenzie, 19 years old, already a business lady, entrepreneur. So your business is all you do? Or you work somewhere else and do this on the side?
No, this is all I do.
So you're... At 19, you are a full-on entrepreneur, full-time.
Yes, please.
Well, that, like, first thing first, and it's 2 years. So let me start at 17. So first thing first, huge congratulations to you on the success of your business so far.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. I think that's simply amazing. So I had to have a conversation with you this evening. Why did you decide so young you want value, you starting your business, you going in full time? Because at 17 years old, most 7 years in was in on that path. But why did you take on this journey at 17 years old, Mackenzie?
Well, I always wanted to start a business from a young age, but I just didn't know what. So my art business came natural to me because art is something I always did.
So tell us about your business, Mackenzie. BOAST. How did you come up with the name, and tell us all about it?
Well, I always liked the color black a lot. And before we were called Electric Art Studios, there's already some of that name. So we chose Blackout based on my love for black.
And what does Blackout Art Studios actually do? What do you guys actually do?
I am an art business that does drawings and paintings. We do have some custom orders as well for things like bags and pillows and that sort of thing. We're now trying to dive into prints and doing partnerships with other businesses. And we have started doing agriculture as something that ties well, because when one raises and the other falters, it will kind of tie together and pull both each other on the same equal path.
And in terms of your agriculture, can you tell us more about that? What exactly are you getting into in terms of the agricultural aspect of your business?
Well, I'm more into crop production, but in the future, I do plan to open a dairy farm, and I do egg production.
You're 19 years old, Mackenzie?
Yes, please.
Can you tell us what influenced you, what helped to put you on this path at such a young age?
It was very difficult to get a job, so my plan was to start something up myself and try to create jobs for people like me.
Shh, Ollie, listen, right, Ollie? I brace you on here for purpose. They meet Mackenzie online. You know, Bim got talent, and for whatever reason, my page like it down only young people, right? I don't know why, but I love it. So you see this body posting great artwork and their business and so on. So you can bring she on your radio. Don't tell Ollie anything much. Just bring her on. And they know that she would have got you shut. But Ollie's there thinking, at 17 you start this, 19 you're already doing all of this here. Why? How? Like, why? How? Where did this work ethic come from? And this line of thinking, who do you credit? Who do you credit for being the way you are now?
I will have to give most of the credit to my mom, as she is my biggest supporter, especially when others said art wasn't the kind of thing you would do in Barbados.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so she would more support me in doing that sort of thing, even when some of my family members said it should just be a hobby and pick another subject. She would help me go through a lot, even when I wanted to quit.
I love that. What secondary school you attend?
I went to Ellerslie Secondary.
And you started art from there?
I don't think I ever stopped. Art is something that I believe we start doing as a child. It's just a matter of if you keep going or not.
I love that. So you're saying art was always you?
Yeah.
I love that. You recently had a showcase. You recently had your art showcase somewhere. I believe it was Pipestone.
Yes, please. It's being showcased.
Still? It's still going on?
Yeah, still.
Speak about it. Let us know where is it located exactly, and what times are you open?
Yeah, we're located in the library half of the post office building. We're right across the hall from them. It's from 9:30 to 2:30. It was originally supposed to be the entirety of February, but we've extended it to the 14th of March because we're getting a lot of traffic and that sort of thing. And I realize more of people in secondary school still and younger people in primary school are needing this kind of advice that I needed when I was their age.
No, I love that. I love that. Ollie, 19 years old. 19 years old, Ollie, and already a business lady and already thinking about how can she create jobs for others. So that means in the future, that's something on your mind, that in the future, as you expand, as your businesses grow, in the future, you'll be thinking about taking on other people and giving other people employment?
Yeah. I also wanted to take away the standard that we have now where you must have experience, you must have X, CSC, and that sort of thing. I would like you to just come and show me what you can do.
I love that. You give them opportunities. So you're thinking about making it equal across the board, that Once you are willing and you can provide opportunity for them and they're willing to take opportunity, you don't mind taking them on in the future. That's your mindset.
Yeah.
I love that. People, they want you all to go out and support Mackenzie and and her business, she says, is Spikestown in the library. She said open from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday to Friday.
No, 9:30 to 2:30.
Monday to Friday?
Yeah.
9:30 to 2:30. 9:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Mondays to Fridays, Spikestown, the Spikestown Library, the same building as the Spikestown Library, opposite the library, and she is there until the 14th of March. It is?
Yes, please.
Yes, and it's all original art. It's all original art, so you can go check it out and purchase it. I want you to give them, let them know where they can find you on social media, and if the business have a number, you can give them the number, because they need people to support positive young people like you that is looking for it honestly, but looking at improving themselves and the nation by extent. So give them your social media handles and any numbers attached to the business.
Yes, please. You can find us at Blackout Art Studios on IG. You can also find our contact information on Google. The number for the business is 285-9026. Or you can send us an email at blackoutartstudios@gmail.com.
blackoutartstudios@gmail.com. Or give them your phone number again.
285-9026.
285-9026. Please WhatsApp or call 285-9026 and support young Mackenzie, a business lady, and extremely talented and gifted, you know, endorsed by Uncle Sluggy. So make sure you all support fully. I love it. Mackenzie, we're gonna be having much more conversations with you. For sure, you don't have to go. If you don't have to go, you can stay. You can stay alone until the end if you want to. You don't have to go as yet. But I just love what you are doing and the way you are heading. So salutes to you.
Yeah, Sluggy, I just want to make a point.
Thank you very much. And I look forward to it.
Before you go, Mackenzie, I just want to make a little point. Barbados, Mackenzie is 19 years old, and she's realized that a lot of young people are not getting opportunities. They're not getting a lot of employment. Once again, Barbados, Mackenzie is 19 years old, and she decided that she is going to do something about it. The majority of us listening are probably a little bit older than Mackenzie, and I think it's something we can take from her. You know, we need to help each other, Barbados. This young lady is 19, and that's her attitude. There's so much we can learn. Mackenzie, thank you so much.
Thanks, Rose. Thank you for having me.
You're most welcome. You're most welcome. You can stay around if you want, if you want to. But Ollie, a brilliant, okay. brilliant young lady. I have some questions in my phone in about health sector and different subjects in the health, Ollie. And I decided before we end the show, I wanted to bring a professional and answer these questions and put her upon the spot. Live on air. Ollie, we have a Michelle Marshall. If you can please tell me about her so you can post some questions. And Bilby, if you're listening, any questions you have, any and all questions you have that you might not got answered during the week, you can send all to me. And I always promise that I can always bring a professional answering the questions. If it's in culture or music where I'm qualified in and experienced, of course I will answer. If it's an area that I'm not qualified in, you know, but it's still important to our culture, I'm always going to bring a professional and ask them the question. That's me. And I thank my friends. I be thankful that God helped me to have so many friends that are so qualified in so many different areas that I could beg them for the time and they can't say no. So Ollie, you can do the honors for me. Let me grill you with some of these questions. And any questions you got, 434-1790. 434-1790. 434-1790. If anybody else want to call in a chat, 434-1790. Go ahead, my brother.
Michelle Marshall, registered nurse, registered midwife, public health nurse, international nurses leader, ICN 2004. Miss Marshall is a social activist, a nurse leader, and a gender advocate, holding several leadership positions both locally and regionally. Miss Marshall's passion is really to ensure that nurses and clients get the best clinical outcomes, both in treatment facilities and in their communities. Ladies and gentlemen, Michelle Marshall.
Hello, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for having me on the program. I'm humbled to be here.
Thank you, Nono. Thank you very much. First question I have to ask you, Michelle, is there such a thing as community health, and how can a community, for these questions that you got asked and you hear people talking about, is there such a thing as community health, and can a community really do things that can help us in the entire health sector? Can the community themselves play a part?
Certainly. Thank you. That's a very interesting question. And well, the government of Barbados actually provides a community health service by way of the polyclinic service that's offered to the general public. And the community health nurse, and by extension, the inspectors, doctors, records persons, they make up this community health personnel. And we do offer different variant levels of clinics to the communities. But as it relates to can a community help itself, is a very, very practical thing. And that's what you really want, because you want individuals to take responsibilities for themselves. And that's the way forward. The way forward is for every individual to come together as a group and then become a community. And then they have a goal, like if it's, for example, reducing litter, if it's a example, you know, integrating the prospects for climate change, like if communities start recycling, if communities have a policy of reduce, reuse, and recycle, like those are ways that communities can come together to make themselves healthy. Because health is not only the absence of disease, but it's a state of complete mental and physical and social well-being. Thanks.
Well, boy, listen, you sound, listen me, right? You sound like you ready for a platform, yeah. You sound like you ready to be minister of health or say you sound no, somewhere ready. You sound no. real, real
That's
ready.
That's not all nurses sound the same way. I just sound like all the other nurses that went before me.
Oh, so humble with it. I love it. So humble. I love it. Listen, okay. Seeing what we went through and dealing with it firsthand, right? You think you seeing any impacts from COVID that affecting us in ways that we ain't really studying yet? You know, everybody's studying the breathing, what you're doing to your body, and so on. So I'm talking about the normal conversation we are having. Is there anything that you think we are missing from the impacts of COVID that is not being spoken about enough?
Well,
besides the usual?
Well, I would like to say that, you know, the impact of COVID has been felt on so many different levels. And I personally believe that, you know, one of the ways that we're not looking at is like the mental wellness, like how persons are adjusting, even readjusting and reintegrating into society, how children are now, you know, having been away from each other, now they're together, how they're responding to each other. You know, COVID for us as nurses was like, you know, we became more than nurses during COVID. We became relabeled and rebranded as essential workers or rebranded as frontliners. So during the COVID time for us as a profession, it was really high intense, especially around those times where there was so much uncertainty how the disease was moving. Like you didn't know if it was airborne, if it could be on surfaces. So every day at work was tremendous stress. So because I think that we as nurses are also human, then the post-traumatic disorder, you know, just having that kind of high anxiety after working through what one can consider almost like a war state, you know, I mean, the minister at the time would have the slogan, you know, no retreat, no surrender. So it was almost like a war type activity. Then most nurses, in fact, already, you know, really tired, you know, really overworked, and, you know, is extreme mental fatigue. And I would not want to justify, you know, like, you know, persons not having the best interpersonal relationships after COVID. But even WHO says that, you know, like, persons who worked in the healthcare are suffering from compassion fatigue, which is like, you know, they're just tired being tired suffering.
Listen, mm-hmm. Right, sistering, I was reading up on that, right? Like, everyone go through deep there, but when I read it, it was so frightening, the impacts persons like yourself
mm-hmm.
are having, like, mentally. And they yeah. talk about compassion fatigue was one thing that hit out mm-hmm. at me in the research. Now, they're saying that anyone can Google mm-hmm. Michelle. You understand? So this is something that you and I saying, like, so this is something they saw online, several sources talking about the compassion fatigue. Why is that happening? And how can we fix that? Because we can't go on with nurses in this mental state.
No, it's just a matter of having more compassion for nurses, and for nurses themselves to have compassion for themselves, for them to feel valued, for them to feel, you know, even post the pandemic, for them to feel essential. You know, it's like,
this whole community health can help. So this whole community, this could be a part of community health, then how we could all help each other then.
Well, communities can't celebrate nurses. I mean, communities themselves can't celebrate nurses. Wait,
go ahead and love that. Continue and love that.
And if you have a nurse in your community, you can just tell her, you know, good job. And it doesn't have to be the time, you know, there was one time where the country was celebrating the healthcare workers, and everybody was outside ringing the saucepans and ringing the different things as a kind of a sound or a call to the nurses and the doctors and all the frontline workers about their gratitude. So I'm saying just like little things you can do to let the nurse know, like, we value you. Like, you know, for example, if you come to the clinic and it seems like there's a long wait, don't just be screaming and shouting or harassing the nurse. Or, you know, there's some people that become violent with nurses, like want to hit them or, you know, threaten their lives because things don't seem to be working out for them the way they want it to work out. So we're just asking for more compassion, really. And for persons to, you know, understand that even though that you have the title nurse, you still remain quite human. So the humanity part of it is really a plea for us, from us, to really, you know, like, just don't be so harsh. Don't be so quick. You know, it takes a lot for nurses to stay on the island because I think from the statistics, it suggested that the world is now short of, like, I think it's like 13.2 million nurses. So before the pandemic, we were already short. So now the international markets want nurses. So they're poaching, you know, they're coming quite, you know.
No, it's very rare. Like right now in Canada, if you the qualified nurse right now, you got work in Canada right now.
Yeah, but we don't want that. We want our nurses to stay
I'm saying it to show Barbadians how much nurses will sacrifice to get back to their nation. I just spent 6 weeks in Canada, Michelle. 6 weeks. I only come out of Barbados. There's a week and a couple of days now. And so many nurses from Barbados here with Talamana I met in Canada. Wanna hear? So what you're saying is very true. It plays a lot. And when you mentioned the human side of it, it made me study that nurses are human. So they have to deal with what we're dealing with, plus deal with first. So like, catching the COVID yourself, or your child catching COVID, or your mother or father catching COVID, or going to the supermarket, or going to the supermarket to buy food for yourself, or going to the bank to draw off your salary, or getting money to buy food for yourself. You know, mm-hmm. all of these things that we go do every day of our life. Plus, we went work, some we work by ourselves, some we work by others. All right. But then you all have to do all of this plus take care of people every single day. Yeah. The midwives
are still delivering babies. The geriatric patients were still going to take care of the elderly. Some psychiatric nurses were even living, like overnighting, you know, it was, it just became so difficult once there was an outbreak to just leave, you just stay. So the sacrifices that the nurses made during the pandemic are unmeasurable. And I wouldn't want to say that the government did not give us, you know, any rewards. You know, we were awarded.
No, absolutely, the government. No, absolutely, the government. We're dealing with community. We're dealing with, what are we looking in the mirror? So we're looking in the mirror. Salute to the government. What are you looking at is how me, Sluggy, can help with the problem, understanding understanding the mental fatigue a brother or sister went through. That's what you're dealing with. So are you looking in the mirror? You know what I mean? When it's time to burn fire, and the government do saying that I don't please with everybody, you know, I speak. And right now is the cases looking in the mirror. Sluggy, how can you treat these chapel people better and understand a little more? Because when they go to the clinic, sometimes they do get frustrated, but then they go think back about my cousin that's a nurse and what the stories you would bring home. You get me? So they just trying to understand both sides, man, so that the relationship could be better between the community and the health sector. You get what you're trying to explain? Yeah. You will understand better than me what is important.
Yeah. So even now with this policy about, you know, like not having sweet drinks at school, we were like,
right, like you understand me, like honest, right. Right, speak on this. So it's things like that we can understand that you all still got to deal with, because the effects can still come back down to you.
Yeah. So that policy is really, we would suggest, it's a good policy, because you don't want to have to like legalize, legislate behaviors. You would like people to say, well, look, if this drink has in 9 teaspoons of sugar, do I want to have 2 of these drinks, which is 18 teaspoons of sugar? And how is this going to affect me? Is this going to affect me in a negative way, which could then lead me to then develop diabetes, which can be a problem? Is this going to develop me to become obese, overweight, which can lead to heart disease? So it's just like, if this is the foundation of the problem and you've identified it as such, it is related to consumption of too many sodas. And sodas now have become part of our general lifestyle. Before it was Mobi, before people were legit drink Mobi or drink, you know, something that is not as detrimental to the health. So when the children go home, you want the parents to understand, well, look, it's not that we're trying to put these rules in place because we want to punish you. We want to put these rules in place because eventually these rules will impact on your health in a positive way. And this rule might be the rule that saves you from having to develop diabetes or saves you from becoming obese. So this is really a very positive initiative. But beyond just soft drinks, it's not a matter of just going buy 5 cases of juice. Read the labels and make sure that the thing you're consuming is 100% juice, which will not have in 34 grams of sugar, would have in probably 5 grams of sugar or less, because at the same time you don't want to be putting in sugars from another source and leaving out sugars from the soda. You know, it is better to just drink the water, you know, drink clean, pure water as much as you can, and that should be the solution forward, and only have the soda at a ceremony or at a party or something like that.
No, I love that, and I love that. And shout outs to everyone locked on. Shout out to the Cool Lane Bar locked on. Shout outs to everyone in Deacon's locked on. Shot Hill, I'm seeing Jukes, St. Thomas, Rashmore Hall, Gall Hill, Christ Church, Merritts. I'm seeing so everyone locked on, man. The Cool Lane Bar, biggest everybody at the Cool Lane Bar. That's where you go. Most days that's family open for a Tuesday. You know, all these some good food is get from there. You could get some pillow, scallop potato, cream potatoes, get some yams, some good beer, just food. When last year has some good yam, and being a health professional, you know that you can enjoy a good cream yam. So bigger the yam, your fish, your different meats and everything. So shout out to everyone at the Cool Lane Bar, locked on to VOB 92.9 FM. And from Tuesday, come and get your lunch, your best tasting food. Them is my peoples. I love when people locked on, especially past 7:30. We're supposed to finish at 7:30, but we are going to go to about 7:45. And I love when people still locked on and checking in. You can keep the WhatsApp coming, or you can call in if you want to as well. 434-1790.
Quick question, Sluggy. Quick question for you. Where is Cool Lane Bar?
Cool Lane Bar is in Black Rock. The gap.
the gap before State Catholic Hospital, mm-hmm. you know, or maybe past Chanel Supermarket, the second gap after Chanel Supermarket on Black Rock Main Road. Okay. The second gap after Chanel Supermarket on Black Rock Main Road.
So come and meet you there and get my mark, Sluggy.
Tuesday from 12 p.m. I will be there sitting down chilling.
Okay. Cool.
Correct. Yes. 434-1790, I think. 434-1790. And you could call in or you can keep the WhatsApp messages coming. I absolutely appreciate it. We're talking to Michelle Marshall, who's speaking so eloquently. Michelle, yeah, hold on. Let's see. We got Mackenzie still here?
Yes, please.
Well good. Wait, hold on. Call Mackenzie's 19 years old, right, Michelle? So it's good that we got a youngster, not the old people like we. Yes. Mackenzie, we hear Michelle speak about this policy and the sweet drinks and so on. How do you feel about this?
Well, mostly I do feel that there's a problem with other children and teenagers having issues with sugar and controlling the amount of snacks they eat.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it will be good if an adult steps in and gets a hold of the issue. Because it's a matter of control.
Yeah.
Because you can just have one soft drink and stop. But I will see some people that I go to school with, you have 3 buses for the morning, 2 quarts at lunch.
Come on, then Lord.
Then in the evening, you can come now and you can go and get a snow corn and 3 packs of corn curls with fried chicken.
These things children eat?
Yeah.
Michelle, you hearing this?
It's a matter of control. I don't think people have control anymore.
I'm really glad that you're into agriculture, because then you'll be introducing what we want is the slow food instead of the fast food, right?
Uh-huh.
That you're into mm-hmm. the arts and the way, you know, into the getting person's consciousness. Because the thing about it is a lot of people eat for pleasure. And like, there's a science that goes into like when you bite the particular chip, how it makes you feel. And because people have been in such, everyone wants, you know, the lockdown states, the states of fear and all this kind of thing. A lot of persons are taking their pleasure in food. Unfortunately, the foods that they're choosing to consume are not the best for their health. That's the same thing. Like, you know, you asked Lagi that how can societies help nurses? They can help nurses by reducing violence. Because if violence is reduced, then you wouldn't have the accident and emergency overcrowded. And you're having all of these emergencies. And then you're having the trauma that affects the children that are affected by the murders, that are affected by the violence in the home. They're then taking these particular instances from the communities into the schools, creating havoc for the teachers. Then by extension, creating havoc for their peers. So we need to take responsibility and stop idolizing these people on these music videos that are performing as though life is a video game. That's the way you can help us, because then we wouldn't have to deal with all of the trauma that comes as a result of one person deciding that this is how they're going to handle a situation.
Oh, I love that. I'm big up to my good brethren, Cappy locked on. I love when the young people locked on. Another one of my youngsters that come under me, Dan Jackson. He's a sportsman too, you know. From young, he's into sports and health. And he's here enjoying the conversation. So big ups to my brethren, Yappy, Mr. Omar King. You know, I appreciate you. I appreciate the support, my brother. So, Mackenzie, they bring you in the conversation. And Michelle, I appreciate you answering all my questions here. Because you know you can answer enough questions. And I appreciate you being with Sluggy here. Thank you. And I'm done. We're going to a quarter here, and I got more questions for you. I ain't done. Mackenzie.
Yes, please.
Good. Come and talk to Uncle. And I appreciate you staying with us. And remember, peoples, she's open until March 14th. Is in the building with the Spike Stone. The library in Spike Stone. She's in the same building opposite the Spike Stone library, and she's open from 9:30 and closes at 2:30 p.m. You know, she's a business lady in the arts, but she's also into agriculture. No, you into agriculture. You have any plans or ideas? How
persons like yourself in our culture can help us out here, because the foods that you all will grow and sell is what we should be consuming a lot more of, but we are not consuming a lot more of. And I agree with Michelle. How can you, as a young person in agriculture, help Michelle and I with this problem?
Well, I am becoming a strong advocate for eat what you grow.
Hello, and I think go ahead.
Should open a kitchen garden for themselves and eat what they grow. And please try not to add too much salt. I'm begging.
I love that push to eat what you grow initiative. Even if everyone don't catch on, the more people that catch on that initiative, the better. Michelle, Miss Marshall,
yes.
Hearing young Mackenzie speak about that, saying that is something she would like to be an advocate for and the champion, you know, eat what you grow initiative. Can you know, as a professional, tell us why, if that is a good initiative that certainly can have a huge positive impact on the health sector down the road, even if we don't see the results now, let me see it in 5 years, if we get 30,000 more Barbadians, 280,000 a week, let me see a small number, only 30,000 more start to do it. Can you see any impact on this, and how long would do you think it would take for us to see a positive impact? How do you like the idea?
I think it'd be revolutionary, and I think it's something that's been pushed by us. I know Mackenzie has even brought it forward as a young person,
yeah,
as a
19,
person up there.
19 you know, just years old.
Setting up herself and, you know, going forward, that, you know, the introduction of everybody growing their own foods, then we could have communities. So then everybody doesn't have to grow potatoes. Somebody could grow yam. Somebody could grow yam, and then you could come together and have these community markets like before. And this can also be marketed as ecotourism, how a country is able to change their economy around by everybody becoming sustainable. And
ecotourism, I love that.
Yeah. And then people will want to come to Barbados to see how we did it, how we were able to get everybody on board to grow their own food. People develop aquaponics, and we just get really sustainable, really friendly, save the earth. And then it becomes like a win-win. Everybody's participating, and at the end of the day, everybody's benefiting. So the chickens are better, so the eggs are better, the food is better, and people will then want to get food from us because we're growing our food organic, because organic food is going to be the way forward. No, everybody's onto the, you know, the internet tells you everything, so you know, like, you know, you can't just say that a carrot is a carrot anymore. You gotta see if it's a genetically modified carrot and then decide if you're going to want this particular brand. Depends on where it was farmed. You know, I mean, so those kind of decisions are decisions that would, if you are growing your own carrots, then you're not going to have to ask the question if it was a carrot or not, because you know it's a carrot. And if I buy carrots from you, I know them as carrots because you growing carrots, you know. So I think it would give us a lot, like, you know, food security. And we would feel better. Like, our grandparents used to grow their own food. I remember my granny had so many things growing, you know, from bananas, potatoes, you know, anything she would put in the ground. Okras for sure was something that people used to grow a lot of. You know, like, we could get back to farming, like, and love it.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And Mackenzie, great job on that initiative. I'm proud of you, and Michelle explaining further in detail the implications it have and how it can really benefit us from such a seemingly small initiative can have such a huge impact. I think is absolutely, absolutely awesome. Michelle, you sound good. You sound like Minister of Health. Any plans of going to politics in the future? Any plans to represent the nurses? Anything like that? Because you sound like you should be speaking a lot more. I know that I can call on you and I have you to call on, and I appreciate that. But any plans to hear you more representing nurses or anything, or your voice and just going to wilderness? That would be sad.
I know.
Because you did a brilliant job today, by the way. Just got to tell you that off the bat before we end.
Thanks.
You did a brilliant job. Ollie and I is extremely impressed. Mackenzie, for 19 years old, I can't speak of how proud I am of you. Mackenzie, you did a phenomenal job. Congratulations to you.
Sluggy, I'm going to interrupt you 1 minute, Sluggy, because before you go, Sluggy, and you wrap
anytime.
up, I'm going to ask each one of you for your information for the public. Sluggy, I got to tell you, during my travels in the week, many people tell me that they love listening to your show. So please, Sluggy, give the people your contact information also.
Okay, ladies, you could go first. Mackenzie, again, give them your number. Mackenzie, go first.
Okay. My number is 285-9026. We have a business email where it's not automated. We reply to you very quickly. It's blackoartstudios@gmail.com. And you can also visit us on our IG page at blackoartstudios again.
285-9026, peoples, write it down, please, when they're ready. 2 seconds. 1, 2. Give them the number one last time, Mackenzie, and take your time. Give everybody a chance to write down this number.
285-9026.
Good. When I got it. Now, Michelle, please give them your number, and they answer my question if we can get to hear you more on Veer.
Okay, well... I'm just in the capacity of being a public health sister. This is what all public health sisters do. So we work by catchment areas. So you don't actually have to contact me, but if you have any issues going on, diabetes, hypertension, menopause issues, family planning, anything like that, you can reach out to your polyclinic nurses at your polyclinic, which is in your area. As it relates to my personal representation of nurses, I do intend in the next elections of the Barbados Nurses Association to contend for the post of president.
Hold on. Don't run. You running for the Nurses Association president?
That is my objective and one of my intentions. Oh, yes.
Okay, go ahead. When is this election? And where?
The election is scheduled for February the 27th. The thing about it is, in order to vote, you really have to be a financial member of the Barbados Nurses Association, and you would have to, you know, been in the association for a time. So you know, it's not an impromptu kind of sign up and then vote. However,
so you can encourage a nurse. You can encourage my sister, my cousin, my uncle as nurses to vote for you.
I would love that. I would love your
good
support.
Okay. Well, good.
But it's more importantly, is not even only about supporting me. It's about supporting the National Nurses Organization. So whoever is successful on becoming the president still needs the support of all nurses. So it's not really if I am president or if somebody else is president. It's moreover that all nurses really should come together as one organization you could have double membership. It doesn't matter. But when it comes to the professional organization where you're looking at professional situations and professional stand, what you want to have as a professional standard established, then we all should be sitting collectively at the same table, ensuring that all the nurses are adequately represented and everybody has a voice. That's my hope overall.
I love that. I love that. Great job, people. That's Michelle Marshall. Great job, Michelle. We could continue these conversations some more. We really appreciate it. But thank you so much for coming through today. I really appreciate the good work. Mackenzie, great work by you as well. This is Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme with your boy Uncle Sluggy. Ollie, thanks for you.
Yeah, before you go, Sluggy, I gotta ask again, can you give the people your contact information and social media handles?
No problem, people. And thanks for that. And this weekend, I must say it. Thank you, Ollie, though. This weekend, we're looking to help 10 families this weekend. So you can donate anything you wish, anything at all. If you want to donate and via First Pay, anybody thinks First Pay is 236-3534. You can donate via First Pay at 236-3534. Or you can call or WhatsApp me at the same number. So you can donate via First Pay, that same number, 236-3534. Or you can call our WhatsApp, that same number, 236-3534. I get lots of stops too, especially if we go somewhere to buy food or to shop or send. And so, boy, holla Sluggy and holla manners. For me, that same manners, people look wrong. Holla you, Sluggy. You know what I mean? I love it. I can't front and pretend that I don't like it. Absolutely love it. Love it. Appreciate it. That was make me good. Even 10 times harder. You know what I mean? I ain't fronting, Ollie. I and live for it and this way pray for. So I just thank you. Real talk. People's 236-3534 if you want doing it via first pair. 236-3534. Or you can call or WhatsApp me at the same number, 236-3534. As it relates to social media, you know it's BIM Got Talent. Very simple for everything. For everything. BIM Got Talent on every single thing. It could be YouTube, Twitter, it could be TikTok, it could be Facebook, IG, you know, it could be Twitch, it could be Fanbase. Name the social media platform, just type in BIM Got Talent and we on there. BIM Got Talent everywhere. Remember, first pay 236-3534. WhatsApp or call me. Ollie, great job as usual, my brother. Let me keep pushing the envelope, my brother, and doing job works.
All the best to you, Sluggy. This has been Bayesian Rhythm and Rhyme with the one and only Sluggy Dan.